A large percentage of Americans working from home, school children on an indefinite break, those are just a couple of the rhythms of daily life that 2 weeks ago seemed unthinkable. Now they seem essential.
Essential because the spread of the coronavirus in the United States is growing exponentially. There are now more than 55,000 cases.
The widespread disease is not only wreaking havoc on daily life, it's wreaking havoc with the economy. Early this morning, the Senate leaders agreed on a $2 trillion financial package, and should it pass, it will be the third time this month the federal government has intervened to keep the U.S. economy afloat.
We're going to talk through the latest developments on all of these fronts over the next several minutes. To do that, we're joined by NPR's Aisha Roscoe, who covers the White House, NPR's chief economics correspondent Scott Horsley, and global health correspondent Nurit Eisenman. Good to have all three of you here.
Good afternoon.
Thanks. Hi.
Aisha, let me start with you. The White House and Senate Republicans have been trying for days to come up with something that Democrats and the Republican Party would agree to. Now they have an agreement. What is everybody hoping this might do?
Well, they're hoping it will help workers and individuals who've lost income or had business losses due to the coronavirus and through no fault of their own. President Trump really wants to prop up the economy that's struggling right now and has in many ways completely shut down. Trump is someone who watches the markets very closely, and financial indicators like job numbers. We're really just beginning to see the economic impacts, and we know that they're going to be bad. And the administration and these lawmakers are hoping to help blunt that or at least help with the recovery.
So this is the biggest relief package in history, and yet New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says it is not enough for his state. Scott, what impact might this actually have?
Well, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell calls this emergency relief. He says it's not a traditional stimulus bill, the kind of thing that's designed to, you know, pump up the economy or encourage people to go out and work and shop. On the contrary, officials are urging people not to go out and work and not to spend money. And this bill is just designed to keep them afloat while we wait for this pandemic to pass. It is remarkable how far the ball has moved in less than 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, the White House was questioning the need for aggressive fiscal stimulus. Now you've got them opening the floodgates with $2 trillion, and White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow saying you can multiply that figure with help from the Federal Reserve.
So as Aisha alluded to, record numbers of people are filing for unemployment. I mean, is this solution big enough for the scale of the problem?
Yeah, we're going to see initial claims for unemployment tomorrow from last week, and that number is expected to top 2 million, maybe a lot higher. The governor of California has said more than a million people applied for unemployment in that state alone in the last 2 weeks. So this rescue bill is not going to solve that problem by itself, but it is providing a lot more money for the unemployed. They'll be eligible for an extra $600 a week on top of what they would ordinarily get. Those benefits will be extended to 4 months instead of the usual three. People who typically are not eligible for unemployment, like gig workers and the self-employed, will be eligible now. So this will help. And then in addition, you've also got those direct payments we've talked about, up to $1,200 per adult, whether they're working or not.
Those all seem like really important details. I want to shift to the science of this disease. Nurit, Governor Cuomo said today there is some indication that the social distancing measures that New York has taken could be slowing the spread of the virus. How might that affect the trajectory of the disease?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. At best, it means in several weeks, the situation will go from horrific to merely horrible. Because while China and most recently Northern Italy have shown us that, yes, drastic social distancing can slow down the number of new infections each day, the bigger the number of cases you already have, the longer it takes to bring the numbers down. Also, it takes a while to see the effect in hospitals. After all, a lot of people in New York City have already gotten this virus. It's too late for them. And so over the coming weeks, they'll still be developing symptoms, still be showing up in hospitals. And finally, this idea that with these extreme social distancing measures, you are, you know, quote, flattening the curve, we've all heard that expression, of infections, it still means that people will continue to get infected over time, just not all at once.
So really the goal is to keep the number of people showing up in hospitals at any given time low enough that the healthcare system can handle it. Is that right?
Right. And then for places that don't yet have outbreaks the size of New York's, the extreme social distancing right now there is this temporary measure to keep the numbers low enough while they ramp up hospital and testing capacity. And then the hope is once you have enough testing capacity, you could pivot to a phase two strategy that requires less restrictions on movement. This is a strategy of testing all cases, rapidly isolating people who've been in contact with those who've been infected. But even in areas of the U.S. that don't have as much spread as we're seeing in New York, we are still weeks from being able to make that kind of a pivot. New York is just the beginning. Cases are rising across the country right now.
So, Nurit, what you're saying sounds like the opposite of what President Trump has been saying, that he wants to see the country open for business by Easter and pews full in churches. Aisha Roscoe, is there any indication that the administration is rethinking that position?
Well, President Trump himself is still saying that he would like to get the company open back up. He just tweeted something to that effect. And Trump says he would like things to get up. He listed this date of Easter. But when you talk to the health officials on the Corona Task Force, what they've been saying publicly is that they're going to be looking over the data over the next few days to see if they can make a commitment. And when you talk about they want to look at and see if they can get a sense through testing where the virus really is in the U.S. and what areas may not have as much spread, maybe with the idea of seeing if they can tailor these recommendations a bit. But ultimately, Trump is not the one who has been driving this push to shut down schools and businesses. That's been on the governors and the state level. So it's still not clear how much Trump is going to be able to do to get everything open back up again.
Aisha, let me also ask you about the supply of ventilators and PPE, personal protective equipment. The White House continues to face pressure from states and lawmakers over whether to use the Defense Production Act to meet gaps in medical supplies. New York says it needs 30,000 ventilators. That's just New York alone. Where is the White House on this debate right now?
The White House continues to say they don't think it's necessary to use the law to force companies to make ventilators or other equipment. They're saying they're getting the cooperation they need from companies without doing that. But there's still some confusion. FEMA yesterday said that they were using the act to get 60,000 test kits, but then later they ended up walking that back, saying they didn't need it. But so far, like you said, states are saying that the government is not going far enough and that they need them to take action and use the Defense Production Act to get them this equipment.
Finally, Scott, let me ask you about how the stock market has been responding to all of these developments.
The market was generally up today. The Dow was way up over 1,000 points earlier, but it ended the day up about 500 points, or a little more than 2.3%. The broader S&P 500 index was up about 1%. And the tech-heavy NASDAQ was actually down a fraction. Investors had sort of priced in this aggressive rescue package by the Senate yesterday when we saw a really big gain across the market. And so they were maybe a little bit more muted in their reaction as the bill makes its way forward.
That is NPR's Scott Horsley on the economics of the pandemic. Thank you, Scott.
Good to be with you.
Also, White House correspondent Aisha Roscoe on the politics. Thanks, Aisha.
Thank you.
And Nurit Eisenman on the health and science. Thank you, Nurit.
You're welcome, Ari.